Oh my, it's the news, according to me. Well, it is Wednesday, garbage day. It's June 5th, 7:30 a.m. It actually is trash day. We take the trash to the dump on Wednesdays. 2024, and I am your host. I am here to tell you that I'm not a doctor. I'm not a lawyer. I'm not a financial counselor. I'm not a certified plumber. I'm not. There's a lot of things I'm not. The list is longer. The things I'm not is longer than the list I am. So there you go. But I do have a lot of opinions. My list of opinions is longer than the list of things I am. So probably longer than the list of things I'm not. Just to put it in some kind of perspective there. However, I do make a mean sweet tea. That might be a good name for a product. I can make my own sweet tea and put it in bottles and call it mean sweet tea. Yeah. It's not Southern style. It's mean sweet tea. I made this yesterday, as I said. I think during the show I was talking about making sweet tea. And I have to say, this one is a little bit light on the sugar. Not quite as sweet as I like it, but it's probably okay. It's probably better for me. I do tend to drink more of it in the summertime, so I try to make it fairly light and keep it on the not quite so sweet side in the summertime. So I try to do that. But my main cup here is the chai, of course, with the Cinnabon creamer. That's what goes down smooth this morning. I may have to be, I have to let you know that I may have to pause this podcast this morning at some point because I have a load of crushed concrete coming in, and I might have to, I doubt it's going to be here during the show. If I make a 30-minute show, it probably should be good. But hopefully it doesn't interrupt my ability to upload the show. So that's typically what happens. I get the show done, and then I get caught up with something where something isn't uploading properly. Anyway. So what do we have going on in the world today? Well, we have Nigel Farage. Farage has apparently stepped back in. I think he's the British guy he brought about Brexit. He was big on that. Kind of a more of a conservative type. I don't know what his background is. Apparently, I don't know how he came into popularity, but he's kind of this loose cannon guy, a little more Trump-like. I think he's actually one of the things he's been saying is, let's make Britain great again. He's been always pointing out the fact that there's this ridiculous population explosion due to the increase of, I guess, over a million people a year in Britain. Now, you got to keep in mind, we have over 300 million people in this country, supposedly. And we have, and Britain only has 60 million, last time I counted them. We're talking about, a nation's a fifth the size. Getting a million people a year, that's like us getting 5 million a year. Well, yeah. And you can see what that does. You see the biggest problem with that kind of an influx, when you have people that are, when you're increasing your population by birth rate, which is what the left hates, that. We have to stop having kids because we're overpopulated. But apparently we can just let people come into the country by the millions because, well, we need them to pick our crops, according to Nancy Pelosi, and clean our toilets, according to Nancy Pelosi and other leftists. That's what they think these people are for. It's an unbelievable philosophical ideology that just runs these people's heads, and they don't even see how ridiculous they are. So they're drunk on power. They're drunk on this idea that they are going to protect our democracy when they're the ones who are becoming the dictators. It's interesting that this Michael Knowles was in a review thing yesterday or the day before. I saw it yesterday, so I believe it was yesterday morning. This panel of several guests, and this one lady was talking about how calling the conservatives and the Trump movement and all this stuff that they're the fascists. They're fascists. And one of the definitions of fascism, one of the traits of fascism, of fascists, is that they jail their political opponents. Happens continuously. They put them in jail, they kill them, they do whatever, they do all kinds of things to them. And this is exactly, and of course he makes the point of, you say that we're the fascists while you are literally putting your side is literally putting their political opponents in prison, trying to. I've been thinking about a couple things we're really kind of pondering this morning. One is how the Democrats operate, but the other one is just in terms of legislation and all their social programs. The other one is just this whole thing about the seething anger towards Donald Trump and the way people are reacting to some of this stuff and the way they just ooze with this hatred. It's very clear when you hold this up to the mirror of, well, let's just talk about this. Let's just go into this. When the Messiah, our Lord, Jesus, Yeshua, HaMashiach, when he, Yesham Yeshua, told us how to treat our enemies. What did he say? It's good for you to be seething in anger towards your enemies. No, he never said that at all. Bless those who curse you. In fact, Paul himself said, or maybe it was James, one of the epistles, one of the letters, the churches, was mentioned that we should feed our enemies. Of course, by doing so, you'll be heaping coals of fire upon their head. In other words, they hate it when you do that. I was in a line yesterday to get ice cream. And this guy was in line with his wife, and they were about halfway through the line. Long line, because it's just a popular place. Even on a Tuesday night. Of course, it was 80 degrees. But it was threatening rain, so it's very rare that there's that many people there. But it was, and the line was about half as long as it normally is. Sometimes it gets way, it's like a block long. And there's two lines. So it goes two blocks long, really. And this guy was standing there with his wife while his family shows up. And he's going to treat his family, of course, to ice cream. His kids are, you could tell they were in their 20s. They show up. And they get in line behind the people. There was people behind them, this couple. And then they get in, the rest of the family, the kids, they get in line behind the other family that was there. So like four or five of them there. And this dad was, come on up here. And the kids felt bad about it, I was impressed that they had that kind of sensitivity to the fact that they're not just going to budge the line because they're. So this father's like, well, how am I supposed to treat you guys with that, if you're back there? Well, this is how you do it. You get out of line, you go back with your family. That's how you do it. So he asks the family, and behind him, he says, do you guys mind if they come up here? What are they supposed to say? Yes, we mind. So they all went up there. Now, Had I done that? Here's how I would have handled it. Everyone behind me, I would have walked up to that counter and I would have said, the next 7 people behind me, I'm paying their bill. Don't let them know. Take their orders and then I'm going to pay it. Because if you let them know, then they'll take advantage of it. This is typical of what happens. Now, I don't think these people would have because they seem to be very kind, but I've had that situation before where I've told people, hey, we're going out to dinner tonight and I'm buying. When I was an airline pilot, I was a flight crew. The flight crew did an awesome job. They worked really hard that day. I said, hey, if anybody wants to go out dinner tonight, this is where we're going and I'm buying. And there were people there who would buy groceries for the week. They would take home 3 or 4 boxes. They would order 2 or 3 meals. That was not the plan. That was not my intention. I didn't say anything because I'm not going to be that guy. But they wanted to be that person. That's fine. I will never buy you dinner ever again. That's the way that's going to work. You got it once, don't get it twice. So now I just say, hey, let's go out to dinner. If they want to go, that's fine. If they don't, they're missing out because what they don't know is I'm buying. But they don't know that until the bill comes. They order their soup and their bread, and they find out I'm buying. They're like, oh, I would have ordered a steak. Yeah, you would have. This is what you wanted. Well, it's all I could afford. Well, but, you know, here we are. Be grateful for what you got. And learn to get over it. Next time you'll know better. So anyway. So the way people act. Where was I going with all that? The other thing is how the Democrats. What I was really getting at is the selfishness of people in terms of the way they develop their worldview. Everything kind of revolves around this whole selfishness that we all have apparently. But I think I have it more than most. Extremely selfish person. I disgust myself sometimes. But it's easy to get into that. Very easy to fall into that, I have to say, at least for me. Now, having said all that, the other thing that I was pondering about the Democrats, the leftists, and most establishment, any kind of creature that's drunk on power. For instance, here's a good example. The left wants to have immigration reform. We need comprehensive immigration reform. They always use the word comprehensive immigration reform. In other words, huge, basically from the ground up, from the foundation up, immigration reform. And here's their way to fix the illegal immigration system. This is what they call a fix to the illegal immigration problem. Make it all legal. Just let them come in. That's their fix. That's what they're trying to do. When they went to get this bill passed that actually went through, because the Republicans apparently are completely ignorant about what's going on here. They live with these people every day. They don't seem to understand what they're all about. They wanted more money for the border, really, because Trump was able to do it without any money from any more money. And all he wanted to do is build a wall, and you guys wouldn't give him that. But now you're going to give all this money to hire all these agents for the border. These agents aren't border patrol. These agents are processing agents. They want the border to be open because they think their votes are going to come from there, because the poor people are going to come across there and they're going to give them all this stuff and they're going to vote for them. They're going to keep them in power. What they're finding out is the poor people who are here are like, wait a minute. You're forgetting about us. You know, it's one thing for us to have the struggle and be down with that and be able to get by and, you know, protect our rights and have things, you know, grow and get back. It's a whole other thing when you're giving away money and then it's not to us. It's to these people that you're giving resources to. And here's the problem with this whole thing. The population explodes and now there's no housing. And you can't build houses fast enough. Now we have this, which causes the price of things. You start giving it away. Well, that causes the price of things to go up. You have too much money chasing too few goods, and that makes the price of things go up. And the people on the top, and then they say, well, the wealth gap is expanding. The rich are getting richer and the poor are getting poorer. There's a greater gap between the rich and the poor. Yeah. And you got middle class, but you've got lower middle class, upper middle class. That's what they call it. So now, you know, we even have to divide that up now. I've been in both. I'm all over the middle class, all over the place, on all kinds of demographics. Well, so they have this issue now of, and this is why we have inflation. This is one of the reasons we have inflation is because we have too few goods and we have too much money because they just keep printing it and they keep dishing it out. They're giving all these people money, just enough to get by. They're not making any money. They're not working anywhere. Some of them are trying to sell things. There was this one family. I think it was out in California, someplace. She was trying to sell. This one little girl was trying to sell. She's like 14 years old, trying to sell something on the street. I think it was some kind of snacks or whatever it was. Ended up getting arrested by the police. Almost turned into a major riot. I think many parts of California. I know in San Francisco, it's actually illegal now to give money, to give food or I know it's illegal to give food to the homeless. You have to have a special permit for that. You can't just walk up and hand somebody a sandwich. Guys approach me for money all the time. I'm out walking, and so once in a while, I'll say, "Do you need some food? I'll go buy you some food." And they'll be like, okay. You can tell they don't want it. But they'll eat it. Occasionally, you know, you'll have a word for them or something. It hopefully changes their lives. I don't know. Let's see what happens. But it's one of those things where the Democrats, and here's a fine example of this. The way they can drop the crime rate. Well, we just won't arrest anybody anymore. Two gangs fighting each other, shooting each other. Nobody gets arrested. Well, it's just gang violence. We can't really count that as normal violence. They took it out. It was okay for them just to shoot each other up because, you know, they'll take care of themselves. Street justice, it's kind of street justice kind of thing. That's how ridiculous these people are. You know, and then during the course of one of those shootouts, some stray bullet kills a kid. Well, you know, it was, you know, sorry, you know, thoughts and prayers. Gun violence, it's all gun violence. Gotta stop this gun violence. Gotta take away your guns. You people in your houses there trying to protect yourselves. We need your guns right now. But they just make everything legal, which gets rid of the crime problem. We just won't prosecute anybody. That'll solve it. That's their thinking here. They do this on so many levels. Oh, you're in poverty. Well, we need to give you some money to keep you there. Yeah, we don't want to give you a job. We don't want to give you some kind of feeling of value, something that you can achieve where you can someday sustain yourself. to be productive in society. No, we're just going to give you money, keep you down, and threaten you with taking that away if the other party gets involved. They're going to take that away from you. They're going to take away your help. Oh, well, then I better vote for you then, because I'd rather be a slave to you than a free person. Struggling. This is the world in which we live, folks. But I sense a tide turning. There comes this point, and I think it's culminating around the world right now with this Nigel Farage thing. I think that we have the Democrats and their policies can only beat people up for so long, and they start to realize this is terrible. This happened during the Carter age. And of course, it only took him 4 years to destroy. And I don't think people remember. And I've always brought this up, but I don't think people remember really well. I have an uncanny ability to remember this stuff. And I don't know why. But when Carter was president, he messed things up so badly. It wasn't just the energy crisis. They called it the energy crisis. We're at peak oil. This was back in the 70s. It's over 50 years ago. Now they're discovering Venezuela has more oil than Saudi Arabia. They're still eating their cats. The problem with Carter was that he had all these ideological things motivating him. We had shortages of every kind. It wasn't just energy shortage. It wasn't just an oil shortage. And our military was falling apart. We were the laughingstock around the country, around the world. This is why the Iran hostages were happening. We had milk shortages, meat shortages, sugar shortages. Peanuts, of all things, were shortages. Of course, he was the peanut president. He was from Georgia. I think his family were peanut farmers. And we had peanut shortages of all kinds. He screwed up the whole farming industry, the whole network. In fact, I think it is still screwed up from today. It is the reason that so many conglomerates and so many big farm companies, I'm going to call them that, were able to industrialize and enslave a lot of farmers. I think they're enslaved. You talk to many of these chicken farmers. They're pressured to produce more and more chickens by the companies that come in and buy from them. So, people like Tyson and that kind of thing. They come in. It's ridiculous the control they have over these farmers. And they make a very slim profit margin. And I blame what Carter did back in the 70s that escalated that to the point where it is today. But I digress. We forget sometimes these ideologies, these things that they push and that motivate them to make legislation. All sound good. Oh, we're going to do this because it's going to help us. And it just screws everything up. And you can only, sometimes this comes to a perfect storm. It comes to a perfect wave. What we have right now is we have this incompetent, bumbling guy in the White House who has everybody else around him is doing whatever they want to do. They're the ones pushing the agenda. He's not pushing any kind of an agenda. He just wants to be wherever the polls say he should be. Just read whatever they put in front of him, if he can. He just likes being the cool guy with all the power. And all the classified documents in his garage. We have, now Hunter Biden is on trial, and I couldn't care less. I really couldn't care less what Hunter. The only thing that I think is important to understand about Hunter Biden is how it implicates his father. And again, I really don't care about his dad running for president again, or, you know, second term, because I don't think he's going to be on the ticket. And I've talked to several people who really understand what's going on behind the scenes here, and all of them have told me there's no way they can run this guy in November. And if they do, it is a sign that they really do want him to lose. That for some reason. Now, speaking of all that, there's this plan going on behind the scenes. I guarantee. Think of all the plotting and planning that was going on before the 2016 election, and then the 2020 election, everything that happened behind the scenes with that. Things that we haven't even found out yet, because this administration will cover that kind of stuff up. All the things that we found out about with James Comey, Peter Strzok, Andy McCabe, everything that was going on with the FBI, Clapper, Brennan, all these guys are still in the play. 51 of them, apparently, who signed this letter about Hunter Biden's laptop, all the earmarks of a Russian disinformation campaign. That diary is not real. Biden's daughter's diary, that's not real. But they arrested someone for having it, and they got it back. Because, you know, it's not real. When was the last time you saw them raiding a grocery store to pull out a National Enquirer? They don't do that because nothing's real in there. They don't care. No, they wouldn't if it was real anyway, but it's... All the plotting and planning and scheming that's going on right now, Bill Barr has come out and said he's going to vote for Donald Trump. Now, I think this is an attempt. Remember when Bill Barr was doing his book tour? Because he had all the time in the world to write this book. People don't write books. It just disgusts me. Yeah, I wrote a book. This is my book. Well, if you're in my book, this is in my book. I'm going to go on a book tour now. They get $1 million for this or whatever. And they go out and sell, you know, 100,000 copies. And they really don't sell many copies. This is what really, a friend of mine who he was into book writing for a while, and he was in this club. They have these clubs where they all agree to buy each other's books. So you might have 5,000 people in this club, in this association. When someone publishes a book, everyone agrees to buy the book. So that pushes the book up to the bestseller in category or bestseller, even nationwide bestseller. Top 10, whatever it is. This is the way they do this stuff all the time. So everybody's pitching in to help each other, buying each other's books. It's a brilliant strategy. Problem is, it foils the algorithms. If you're not in, put your book out there and nobody buys it because nobody knows it's there because you're not a part of one of these groups. You're not going to be a top 10, you know, number one bestseller in your category or in that group or in the nation or whatever. So that's what they do with these things. Of course, then they get the $1 million. Of course, that includes a book tour. We're going to book you on a book tour. We're going to send this thing around. You're going to talk about your book and you're going to sell this book. Bill Barr had this book. It's just one. He uses the cuss word, dang thing after another. That's what the name of his book was. Well, you don't hear about that anywhere. Nobody, I don't know who read it because I don't know who would read it. I just remember Mike Pompeo was going to try to run for president as well. These are people who I don't think are going to be in the administration again. Now, however, so Bill Barr comes out and says he's going to vote for Trump this time. I think this is a play on realizing that Trump could either this. Here's what it is. It's either this is Bill Barr's attempt at saving his reputation, saving his legacy by saying he's going to vote for Donald Trump. Who knows who's going to vote for you? You walk in that booth and who knows what lever he's pulling. Button he's pushing, whatever it is they do. Who knows? But the fact is, he's out there saying he's going to vote for Trump. Of course, now Donald Trump come out and, you know, makes some kind of slams about him. Of course, oh, that's just classic Donald Trump. I think Bill Barr knows something. This is where it goes. Because it's either that, or he's just trying to protect himself. I don't think Bill Barr wants to vote for Donald Trump. But I know I'm sure he doesn't want to vote for Joe Biden. I think you can see the handwriting on the wall there. So he's trying to. There's just something sneaky going on here. Because for him to come out and say that, why would you even say that? Why are you even out there at all? Why are you even talking to anybody? Who cares what you think? I don't care. Most American people don't care. You get these people on MSNBC and CNN. These past people who've been in government for forever, and now they're pundits or whatever they are. They're contributors. I don't care. I really don't care. You can endorse whoever you want to endorse. That's fine. I'm not going to jump on your bandwagon just because you're endorsing somebody. That's just not me. I guess they get votes that way. I don't know. Well, I guess Rick Santorum is going to endorse Joe Biden, so I'm going to vote for Joe Biden, I guess, because, you know, I just want to do what Rick does. Mr. Santorum knows all about it. I don't know if that's supposed to give him some kind of credibility. I don't know if it's supposed to give people more, you know. But here's what I think is going to happen. Now, this is off on another. This just came through my head just now. I was thinking about this the other day. And I'll close with this particular statement. By the way, you're getting a 30-minute show with 3 hours of content on any other show. There's no ads on this show. There's no bumpers. There's no junk. You're just getting my opinions for whatever hour long. This is my last little thing here. And I'll just say it the way it is. Move on from there. We take all these polls and we see where Biden is in the polls and everything else. And these are people who are being asked who they would vote for. And who knows how they're even asking the question. Joe Biden's, you know, he's still ahead in some of the swing states. There's like one or two swing states where he technically is above the margin of error. I think every place else he's in, all the swing states are in play. I think even Virginia, I think, is now in play as well. There are blue states in play. Here's the problem that I don't think that the Democrats are foreseeing. They're trying to motivate people by saying, orange man bad, you've got to get out there and vote or we're going to lose our democracy. They're trying to motivate people with this negative connotation that we're going to lose our country if Donald Trump is in office. That's fear. They're motivating people by fear. Or trying to. I don't think many of the independents are buying into this. I don't think many of them are getting this. We've had him there before and things weren't that bad. I don't know what you're talking about. Of course, then you got the deranged individuals who just think that, you know, the guy's a criminal, he needs to be in jail, he's a terrible person, he's a pig, whatever, you know, he's a misogynist, homophobic, you know, whatever. Everything that they can imagine a person being bad, they've somehow projected onto to Donald Trump. And so they're sick in the head. Those people will be motivated to get out and vote against him. Whoever's blue, that's who they're going to vote for. Whoever's on that ticket, they're going to vote against. They're voting against Donald Trump. That's what they're doing. They don't care. Now, in the midst of that, you have this other group of Democrats, I believe, who, when asked who they would vote for, they'll say who they vote. But on voting day or whenever it's time to fill that thing out and send it in, I don't think they're going to be a very motivated group of people. Voter turnout for the Democrats. I don't see them being motivated. I don't see them being energized. There will be people walking across broken glass to vote for Trump. You will not see that for Joe Biden. You will see people walking on broken glass to vote against Donald Trump. But they're not voting for Joe Biden. He doesn't have that kind of support. And Donald Trump doesn't have that many enemies. They're trying to make it sound like this is the way the nation's going, or that the nation needs to wake up. We're going to lose our country. It is fear-mongering. It is, in my opinion, is inciting people to do some, to justify doing some very terrible things. And of course, when they do, they'll be justified. Oh, it's too bad. Oh, look what happened. Oh, no. Well, we need to, you know, gun control. By the way, the Boston bombers used pressure cookers. And I guess the other day, at an airport I was in, I found out there was this fellow who was trying to get through security with a pressure cooker. He just had a pressure cooker. No bombs, no nothing else. Became this huge deal. A pressure cooker. I don't know who travels with pressure cookers. People travel with knitting needles and everything else. It's just a pressure cooker. Can't travel with a pressure cooker. Oh, you have a chainsaw? That's fine. Yeah, you can take that through. I don't understand the knee-jerk reaction that some of these things have. There was recently a stabbing. I think this happened in London, I believe. Stabbing. This guy was out on the street minding his own business, and this guy came and started stabbing him, yelling all kinds of things at him. And I won't mention the fact that the guy was just from a foreign country, or what his religion is. Oh, I won't mention that his religion was Muslim. I'm not going to mention that. But he decides he's going to start stabbing this guy. And the victim starts to fight back. And the police officer, and he starts winning. And the police officer decides to stop the victim to protect the knife-wielding guy. And they wanted to arrest the victim until the police officer started getting stabbed. And everything kind of changed after that. I don't know what the end of the story was. I don't know. I think both of them might have gone to jail. I don't know what was going on there, but whatever was happening. This is the kind of thing that happens. Kind of crazy, wacky stuff that happens. So, here we are. It is Wednesday, it is hump day, it is the middle of the week, and we are still talking about this stuff. I have a lot of, there's a positive sense of, I guess, the future, but I think, We need to just embrace that. We need to be realistic, but at the same time, look for the things that are positive on the horizon. And I do believe there's some positive things on the horizon. I think there's going to be some great days ahead. I also think that there's going to be some very, this is just my sense that there's going to be some very difficult times ahead. Maybe our best times. Folks, God bless. Have a great day. And I will talk to you tomorrow morning right here from my home studio. God bless you.